is the first Christmas carol. As I was reading, there were two Luke texts for this day, and I chose the one with Mary's song, and I thought that is the first Christmas carol. You know, the kids, when we had the when we used to have the Christmas play last week, we had a nice little Christmas caroling, so to speak. But when we used to have the Christmas play, one year the young people did this song, which is a contemporary song, and but it's very good, and it's called "Mary, Did You Know?" Right? Do you remember it? "Mary, Did You Know?" And it's so beautiful. I was thinking of it last night. And it says, "Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered would soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to the blind, to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hands? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God." What wonderful words, right? "Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Oh, Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know?" Certainly Mary did not know, did she? The archives of history and the echoes of the ancient sermons never quite knew what to make of Mary. Never knew what to make of her. She has been venerated in shrines, prayed to, even worshipped. The great artists like Da Vinci, Michelangelo, Raphael, Bellini, and so on, and thousands of artists have imagined her on canvas. For some traditions, Mary is an afterthought, a means to an end. She is rarely discussed other than to occupy a figure in the setup of an annual creech, where she occupies her demure place in biblical history. The dominant understanding of Mary is as a young woman who played the noble role of giving birth to Jesus. She's most often represented as poised, quiet, and responsive. She does her duty alongside Joseph, and then she fades into the background. But if we pause the traditional narrative for a moment and sit with the content of her story, we discover that no one in all human history has had the sort of divine interruption that Mary faced and experienced. To be sure, the pillars of biblical faith, like Abraham and Moses, found their lives divinely interrupted. If we walk faithfully through the pages of Scripture, we find story after story of God's work in the lives of people. The work interrupts and startles almost every time, but none held the Son of the Living God in the way Mary did. Mary, did you know? As we read the text in Luke 1, we see Mary first as favor with God. She has favor. As you read the Luke text, she had found favor with God. And she was wondering why that favor. She did not know then that that favor would come with a lot of what? Problems. God calls us sometimes and it comes with what? Problems. And then there was Mary's fear. She was concerned and she was fearful. In Jewish culture at the time, Mary and Joseph were already legally bound. And on the wedding day, they would seal the deal sexually. But other than that, that would not have happened. And now here is Mary being told that she's going to give birth to she's going to be pregnant with a child. Could you imagine what went through Mary's mind? She was not married, and in our culture, an engagement is not legally binding. But in her culture, an engagement was legally binding. But here is Mary's response. When we consider Mary as the quiet sidebar of the story of Jesus, we miss the power of her response to God. Mary's yes was not muffled, was not a muffled consent that led her to a joyful pregnancy filled with adoring friends and sweet baby showers. She didn't have baby showers and people jumping out of a cake or a box, whatever they jump out of now, you know. They jump out of things to name the baby. Nothing is a secret anymore. Nothing is sacred. And all that jumping and carrying on, I always think, what if the baby doesn't make it? What do you do? Everything is out in the open. Mary did not have that. Mary did not have that opportunity. And then Mary had a question. She asked, how is this possible? How is this possible? Have you ever felt like God was nudging you towards something? A moment you cannot shake. A person you cannot erase from your mind. A situation you cannot skirt. God is nudging you and you want to get away from it and you can't. Because God just keep at it and God will keep at it. So Mary responded. And then after Mary responded, what did Mary do? Mary had her song. She sang. Right? After all this, after her fear and her yes, she breaks into song. We see that in Luke 1:46 to 55. You know, I'd be running for cover if it had been me. I'd be running when they told me I'm going to have a baby and I'm not married and these folks in my community may just stone me to death. I'd be running, but not Mary. She got ready and she said yes, and then she breaks out into a song. It's one of the most famous songs in history. A revolutionary cry. A song so controversial, it was banned in Guatemala in the 80s because it was considered politically subversive. Read the words of the song. We will read it for a minute. Young, scared, faithful Mary sang that subversive of a song. Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord, she says. And we call her song the Magnificat. The first words of this song came from the Latin word for magnify. Notice how Mary is so confident of God's promises to right the broken world she lived in and to put all of the verbs in this song in past tense. God's interruption in Mary's life took her fear, her favor, and her yes. God took everything and would use Mary. Through her, God brought his son into this world. Through God's interruption, Mary brought God's change into the world. The change would come. You see, Micah had prophesied that a ruler would come from Bethlehem. The prophets had said it, and here it was. It would come to a woman, a lowly woman called Mary. And so Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of the servant, of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. And isn't that true? Blessed Mary. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has thrown strength with his arm. And here she talks about what he's going to do. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants. So this song was not just about Santa Claus and jolly, you know, good old St. Nicholas or anything like that. It was about what Jesus was going to come to do. And it was subversive. It was going to what? Bring down Herod and bring down the Roman rule, even though it would not happen in the way they thought it would happen. It was a subversive move. And Mary would sing it. Sing it and sing it. And so now, friends, what does that mean for us? Let us go to the slides. As I summarize the points, of what it means to praise God when you're going through. Amen. Point one, praising God when you don't understand. That's what Mary did. Now, first point, God has the right to give and take away. God is sovereign. Do you know what God is sovereign means? That means God is in control of everything. Sometimes I don't understand God's way, but I know that God is good. Anything God gives me is a gift in my life. It is a gift in my life. It is a loan to me. Everything I have, my child, my grandkid, my house, my health, my finances, my friends, everything belongs to God because God is sovereign. And so I have to praise God even when I don't understand. Point two. Next slide. God, point two, God calls me to praise him in advance before he answered. Did you see that Mary did not know the end, but she was praising God in her song before she knew the answer. When I act in obedience and praise God and thank him for the answers I don't yet see, the Holy Spirit strengthens my faith and gives me peace. Have you ever praised God for your healing? Praise God for what your children are going to do. Praise God that your child is going to get into the school that they desire. Even though it hasn't happened, you begin to praise because you've taken it to God and you begin to thank God. I have to be honest. I don't understand how God does it, but I know that it is true. And so I praise God. Point three, God is worthy of my praise. And God is worthy of your praise and thanksgiving all the time, no matter the circumstance. The truth about God is that God is good, holy, and just all the time. Circumstances in our lives may not feel good. I don't always understand why God doesn't swoop in and fix it all. Yet we're called to praise God through our circumstance. I'll give you an example. On Tuesday, I had told Dana that I would go to the hospital to see her mother. We had not known that she was going to pass, but I had said I would come up, would they let me, and would they let us, you know, they would let pastors, but were they letting people in? And she said, and I said, I won't come on Monday because I have a lot of things, I'll come on Tuesday. So I called her, she says, call her on Tuesday because she had to take her to CAT scan. So I called her and she says, Pastor, you have to come now because I don't know when she's going to go. They say it doesn't look good. They can't give her the CAT scan and it doesn't look good. And there are blood clots over her body. And so I says, I'm coming. Just give me a moment. I have to get ready. Put on my Collins when I went up to Winthrop. And you know, getting a park in Winthrop is. So I got up there, and then there's a lot of now protocol. Take your temperature. They look at your card. They want your birth certificate. A lot of protocol. So I got upstairs, and in the room, her mother was in the bed, of course, in the hospital, was Dana and her niece and her aunt and her brother and her father and me. And they let us in, because I thought someone had to come down, you know, but they knew at the hospital. They knew then. And her mother was barely just kind of, her eyes were rolling, and, you know, but she could hear. And I thought, you know, this is what you do when it says praise God through the circumstances. Dana says, please pray for my mother. Let us pray for her. And so we held hands. And I says, Dana, I do need one of my hands because I brought my anointing oil and I was going to anoint her mother's head. And we began to pray, and, you know, Dana was, you know, you could hear her crying a little bit. But in through the prayer, she said, as I was praying and we were, you know, I was saying, she said, thank you, Lord, for my mother knows you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that she believes in you and she's coming to see you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, if somebody was listening to us, they would look at it and they were not a Christian and don't understand. They would say there's a bunch of crazy people there. This woman is dying, and they're thanking God. They're thanking God for what? Because they wouldn't understand. They wouldn't understand the promises that we have. The promises that God is with her. The promises that God was receiving her. So as I prayed, I says, Lord, receive her in time, in your time, into your kingdom. She has served you and have loved you and given her life to you. Will you receive her, Lord, when the time comes? And will you comfort Dana? And her father was weeping. And the nurse came to give her an injection, and she was standing there, and she was just looking at us, how we were just thanking God for her life. It's not because we're bold or strong. We're weak, we cry, but because we have the hope in Christ that we are praising him through our circumstance, through our situation. That's what Mary did. We don't know the end, but we believe the word of God. And so after we prayed and I anointed her and we sat for a minute and anointed her hands and we talked, and then somewhere in that conversation, we began to laugh, because Dana said, you know, my mother, she wants excitement. She doesn't want people to come in black. She wants butterflies, and it got light as we find some humor in our life, not because we're bold. And as I said to Dana, I am leaving now. Her mother had been barely speaking. She said, thank you, Pastor. Thanks be to God, huh? Thanks be to God. You see, my last point and my continued point is that, but here's the thing. If I understood God completely, God wouldn't be big enough for me to trust. So I choose to praise God, even when I don't understand. And when I praise him, God gives me peace. And so, Winnie, this morning for you also, even when you don't understand, Winnie, you know that your mother was a Christian. She served the Lord for 80-something years, and she's with him. And even though when you don't understand, and when your heart is broken, sing the song. We've got a song to sing. Let us sing our own song of what God has done and will do. This means we must tell the story of our fear and our yes. As Christians, we have the great blessing of telling the story of our lives and God's work in our lives. So friends, God doesn't only work at the moment of death. He's continuing to work in our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen.